Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel. Links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you've enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you. Well, praise Jesus. Hope y'all are glad to be in church this morning, because I really got a lot of preach. I got to take off for a week, and I'm just full of preach this morning. We could just like have a camp meeting all day long, just take you on to evening service. So you better pray for me this morning that I can make it condensed and don't just give you everything that I've got to give you for the next month today. But praise God, I'm excited. Are y'all excited? Yeah. Did y'all just get out of bed this morning and just say, oh God, can I just make it to church, and just crawled in here and fell in a chair and said, oh Jesus, help me? Is that where you're at, or are you excited, or you know, did y'all have great services with Pastor Wynn? Yeah. You know, I didn't know if he'd, you know, sometimes, you know, you bring in a guest speaker like that, and I trust Wynn. I know Wynn's a man of God. I know, you know, he's going to deliver the true word of God, but I also know that, you know, he's a little different. He's a Welshman, you know, and that's just being nice. That's like he told me one day, you know, I feed deer out in my house, and he always stays at my house when he comes, and he's out there, and so I tell him, you got to go feed the deer, but when he walks out there to feed the deer, they all snort and run off, you know. And he wanted to know why, and I said, well, man, they're used to me. And I said, just don't do that to my church. You know, just don't let me, when I come home, let me still have some people, some sheep still left, you know, don't scatter them up to the hills when I have to go find them all, you know, but, you know, Wynn, he's Wynn, so praise God, but we need that. We, you know, y'all all know you can't eat the same meal every day. I probably could, I love enchiladas, my favorite meal, enchiladas. I could eat them breakfast cold. But, you know, after a while, you do have to add some vegetables. I mean, you know, I don't like it, but I have to add some. And so, you know, anyway, we got to have a proper meal. So anyway, I hope he blessed you and all of that. I want to start sharing a message that's going to, it's going to be a while. I don't know how many messages I've got in here. Because just this morning, I found three more, and I got one more sitting there just a minute ago. And so I just got preach all over me, so I just pray. Let's just pray right now that the Lord can put it in order, because I want you to understand. And I'm not here this morning just to, you know, entertain you. I'm here this morning to try to deposit within you a word from God that will then help you in life. That I want it to be a deposit that you don't forget about this afternoon. You know, oh, that was a good message, Pastor Preach. I don't remember where the scripture was or what he was talking about, but I remember it's really good. I don't want that. I want, even if it's just one word that I can deliver to you today, just one thought, one tidbit that comes into your life and hits you square into your heart, and then God can develop that into your life to help you in your walk. Because this life on earth is not easy. Hello? And if yours is, and you never have any problems, I need you to talk to me after church. Maybe I need you to lay hands on me and give me what you got, you know? Because there's issues. We all have issues. There's all things that happen. We live in a warfare world. That's just the way it is, okay? But let's pray right now, because I just want this message to get concise and right into your heart. So, Father, right now, I just pray. All these things you've deposited into me, all these things you've put in me this past week, all the things that you're bringing to my attention, that, Lord, I can speak this morning by your unction, by your anointing, Lord. Not my words. I don't want my words. I want your words. The words to go into the hearts of the people and to be able to help them and to bless them. Lord, all those that are watching and listening, all those that are sitting in here this morning, I just declare, Lord, they're going to hear from you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, so like I said, I'm just going to preach around here a little bit because I got a whole lot of really good stuff here. But the title of this message is Out of Order. Out of Order. You know, you ever walk up to a vending machine that says Out of Order? Only thing worse than walking up to a vending machine that is out of order, they didn't put a sign on it. You put some money in it, it don't work, right? I was over at a auto dealership the other day and getting my truck worked on, and And they had a vending machine there, and there was a lady sitting in there, and she went up there and she put her money into it. And you know, it was the kind that has like the corkscrew little, you know, you push the numbers and it rolls the stuff off, and it went, and there it was. It was hung in between the two, you know. And so I was just sitting there just looking at it and saying, I wonder what she's going to do. What's going to be her reaction? You know, is she going to start beating the side of the machine, or, you know, what's going to what's going to take place in her? She's just, and she was talking on the phone while she was doing this. And so she sat there for a little bit and went on. And then in a minute, a big guy came in that she knew. And she says, that machine didn't give me my deal, stuck right there. And he said, okay. Ooh, he shook that thing. It fell off. And I said, that's what you get for a machine, I guess. It doesn't work right. No telling what it messed up in the machine after he got through shaking and got everything out of sync. But the point is that we come into things in life and that it gets out of order. It doesn't work. I wrote my definition. This is Robert Richards' definition of out of order. Broke. Doesn't work. Won't function properly. Okay? That's what I mean by out of order. Okay? It just broke. Just don't work, Frank. It don't work right. Well, you know, I don't want to walk around in life with a sign over my neck that says out of order. Are you with me? I don't want to be known as grumpy.
Amen.
Y'all with me? I don't want, whether you got the sign on your neck physically or not, depending on how you deal with people and how you operate with people, you have a sign if they've been around you very long. Ouch. Well, I don't want a sign on me that says out of order, because that's not God's purpose for us on this earth. God's purpose for this earth, let me just tell you this a little bit, is for you to have abundance. The Bible says, Jesus said himself, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but he's come to give you life and life more abundantly. He wants you to have abundance. That doesn't mean you're supposed to be some rich snob or something of this nature. It means you're supposed to have an abundance of joy, an abundance of love, an abundance of peace, an abundance of finances, an abundance of health, an abundance to give other people. You're supposed to have more than you can use, so you got plenty to dole out everywhere else. You're so blessed in the love of God that you have the love of God to share with somebody else. You're so blessed that God has delivered you from circumstances and situations that you have great wisdom and advice to share with somebody else. Are y'all with me? We're not supposed to be living in a society where we're all needy. There's nothing wrong with you go through a hard place in life and you have needs and those needs need to be met. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying you're a bad person because you have needs. But I'm saying is that you're in warfare all the time. Okay, whether we want to admit it or not, there is warfare. We live in, since the day that the apple was eaten in the garden, we're in warfare. All right? And that warfare is going to come upon you, and it's going to attack. I just put it into three categories. It's going to attack your health, your wealth, and your relationships. You're going to be dealing in your whole life with those three areas almost all the time. You're trying to deal with relationships with people, your spouses, your children, your associates, and whatever. Somebody wrongs you, you're dealing with unforgiveness, you're dealing with anger, you're dealing with jealousy, you're dealing with whatever is in those relationships. And you're dealing with your wealth. All right? Where your finances, you're just trying to make a living, you're trying to get ahead and the tire blows out and you got to go buy a new tire. You know, you're just dealing with those pressures. Man, we are under such pressure today in our world, in our society, with, you know, your tour. If you make wealth, then it seems like everybody in the world wants to take it from you. And when I say wealth, I'm not talking about like you got $100 million. I'm talking about you just making a decent living. It seems like then you're taxed, and then there's this, and then there's that, and then this is up, and that's up. And it seems like us entrepreneurs, which are most of us in this valley, you always thought that was the greatest life. But I'm wondering now if men flipping burgers, if they're going to raise the minimum wage $15 an hour, might be easier. Let somebody else worry about it. Go home. Because you got to do this and you got to do that. You got to do this and then you got to do that. And then, oh, you didn't know they changed the law. And then that's now the law. And then you got to do this. And then you, this is right. And it just keeps going on. So you're always dealing with finances, okay? And then your health. Just, I mean, as we get older, you just have to deal with your health. I never in my life thought about dealing with health issues. I was always, you know, just never thought about it. But as you get older, you have to deal with health. You have to deal with the health of your parents, other people, you know, whatever you're going on. Okay, that's just life. You're not going to get away from those things. You say, well, I can deal, get away with that relationship. I'll be a hermit. You know, we just came back from a little short vacation. I don't even know how to call it a vacation. You know, we were just gone for 7 days, so that's not a vacation as far as I'm concerned. But glory to God, the phone didn't ring, so I was happy about that. But anyway, you know, and we came through. We had to drive through, like, Beaumont. You know, we were over in Florida, so we drove I-10. So, you know, you're coming through Baton Rouge and, you know, Lafayette and Beaumont, and then you get to Houston. Oh, God. You know, and then you get out of Houston, you know, then you feel like a breath of fresh air by the time you get to the other side of Katy, right? Because you can see grass for a change. You know, and then you start heading on back down this road, on down the road, you know, and you're through Schulenburg, and then you hit San Antonio, but San Antonio doesn't feel like a big city. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm familiar with it, but it just doesn't feel like Houston. Lord, Houston is just like, I've gone to another planet. And, you know, I mean, God bless them if they live there, you know, and you had to deal with it. I mean, I guess you could possibly get somewhat used to it. But to me, I'm just like, going through the whole town. Anyway, so then you get through San Antonio, you know, then you're in the big metropolitan area of Castroville. Then it just starts getting less. Castroville, Hondo, Dehennis, Sabinal. And you make that turn and you start heading up to Utopia. And you're just driving and there's no lights except the stars in the sky. Right? It's just dark, and then you really get a sense of how rural we are. Are y'all with me? I'm not saying there's anything bad about it. I'm just saying we live in the sticks. We really do. You can't get offended by that and say, oh, no, we got a nice little town. It don't count. There's more people on, you know, one quarter of a block in Houston than there is in this whole valley. You know what I'm saying? But it's rural. And that's how we live. But it doesn't make any difference. They're down there dealing with it just like you are. Because this is life. Your health, your wealth, and your relationships. You're going to always be dealing with them. Jesus said it in 1 John. Jesus didn't say it. Paul said it. John said it. But Jesus said it through him. He said, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's what you're going to always be dealing with. All right? Folks, listen, you got to get this reality. You are never, ever going to get to this place. I'm not trying to say this discouragingly, but you're never going to get to this place where all of a sudden everything now is okay. You're never going to crest over. See, I wouldn't have been a very good pioneer because I'm the kind of person that would always want to see what's on the other side of the hill. And then when I got on the other side of the hill, there's going to be another hill. And I'm going to say, man, what does it look like on the other side? And so then I would want to go to the other side. So all I could have done was gone, you know, from East Coast to all the way to the West Coast, got there and said, I don't like it, and backed up. You know, I don't know. I don't know what happened as a pioneer. I've just been wandering continually, wanting to see what's on the other side. But no matter where you get to, you don't arrive at Candyland. And then through your life, however you've been on this journey, however you were raised, whatever was taken care of, your environment and, you know, how your parents were and all this and kind of stuff like this and your situations, you have come across issues in life that have formed you and created you and, you know, like I've always said, made us all a little crazy, right? Hello? If you've been hurt in a relationship, then you avoid those relationships, right? If you've gotten hurt, somebody was just talking a minute ago about people that came through the depression, you know, were always hoarding money because they always were worried about what would it be like if it happened again, and they spent their whole life hoarding and never were blessers or givers or never enjoyed anything because that period was so hard on them that it scarred them and created a mindset in them that changed them. And they weren't generous and they weren't blessers. They were good people still, but that event of the depression had a life-changing effect upon them. And you can't say, oh, well, they were bad people for doing that. No, that's what happened to them. Okay? Because we're in warfare. Mark, Jesus, when Jesus is speaking in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, and he was given the parable of the sower, you know, he said the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things are going to come upon you. It's going to happen. You're not going to get escaped. So what we have to do is be able to deal with it, respond to it in a positive manner with the power and the presence of God. All right? That's what we have to do. Now, I'm going to stop just for a minute and backtrack a little bit. Maggie gave you the deal about freedom prayer. What we're trying to do with freedom prayer, and if y'all, you know, I'm going to give it to you in the Robert Richards version, okay? So y'all can just, it's going to be plain, simple English, all right? Freedom prayer is not about, you know, trying to get you full of the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and handle the snakes and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. If anybody's worried about that. Freedom prayer is simply this, trying to help you through whatever those hard knocks were in life that happened to you. To try to help you to not be wearing the sign that says out of order, but to be able to function in life, hearing the voice of Jesus in your life so that you can overcome those situations and circumstances that happen to you in life and be victorious and walk strong. And if you say, well, Pastor, you know, you got to understand something. I don't have any problems. Then what I would say to you is go ahead and schedule a freedom prayer, because the spirit of deception has totally come upon you. And you're in desperate need for somebody to deliver you from the spirit of deception, because we all have issues. Are y'all with me? We all have issues. All right? And so, back to my message. I don't want to walk around with the sign says out of order. I want to walk in freedom. I want to walk in victory with Jesus. I want to be able that, even though I've been hurt in a relationship, to be able to be healed over that relationship, to understand what happened, what took place, and then the next time it happens, to be able to deal with it differently. I had to laugh where we were at the beach, and, you know, people from all areas around there, So I'm trying to be Mr. Friendly. Y'all laugh like I couldn't. I can be friendly. So, man, I'm down. Y'all, I mean, I know this is hard for y'all to believe, but I'm in a pair of shorts, big old T-shirt on. I'm just Mr. Friendly. I'm just, hey, how you doing here? Hey, hello here. Then I get to looking at that. I'm probably the roughest looking one on the beach around there. Everybody else look, you know, like they were looking at me like they needed to see if I needed Jesus. And so anyway, I get in the elevator, and I've just been Mr. Friendly. I tell, you know, always tell myself, see, didn't I do good? You know, she's like, yeah, you did good. You know, so I'm working myself up, you know. I mean, I like want to be a door greeter, you know. And so I get in the elevator with this guy. He's from Louisiana. And so, you know, he's got definitely the Cajun accent. And so he says to me, you know, where are you from? I said, I'm from Texas. He said, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, it's like, yeah, I was trying to be friendly. I could have just stood over there and just like this the whole time, not even paid him any attention, but no. I was trying to be Mr. Friendly. So you got to have the spirit of God. I didn't say anything. I laughed, you know, whatever. Get out of the elevator quickly. But the point is, instead of making a difference how nice you're trying to be and whatever, there's always going to be some smart aleck around there, right? There's always going to be something to kick your feet out for money. So we don't want to walk around with a sign that says out of order. We can't function in life. Hello? So that's the title of this message. All that I've said here is just kind of the fluff to get you going. So with all that said, let's go to First Kings 18. Get your Bibles out. I'm sorry. So go to First Kings 18. Literally, I can preach my message either. I can start here and preach through, or I can preach from what my last deal is back up, and maybe I could start in the middle. So we're just going to jump here. Everybody say, I don't want to be out of order. Man, I don't want to be out of order, right? Okay, 1 Kings 18 is a great story. I don't want to go through the whole thing because it'll really take me some time here. But it's a story of Elijah dealing with the king of the land at that time, Ahab. And so you ought to read through it because there's a whole lot of similarities to where we are in the United States today. But anyway, so Elijah, the Lord was speaking to him. He's the prophet of the land at that time. They say, Elijah was and I don't know how they get this, but they say Elijah was a short, fat guy. I don't know how they get this. I'm just telling you, this is what history will tell you. That he was a short, fat, irritable guy. Can kind of relate to him sometimes. But anyway, Elijah, he was a prophet of the land at that time. Man, this guy, I mean, when he prophesied, things happened. I mean, he was hearing the voice of God. And so God spoke to him and told him to go tell the king, it's not going to rain for 3 years. And he called it no rain for 3 years. So the land is hurting. It's dry. Everybody's irritated. Everybody's stirred up. And so Elijah, God tells him to go to the brook. And I'm just telling you all that's in 18 because I want to just get to a point here. And he tells him to go sit at the brook. And he goes to the brook and the Bible says that God causes ravens to come and feed him. So every day he's got ravens, which are nothing but a glorified buzzard, coming every day and giving him something to eat. All right? I mean, you're in dire needs when the buzzards are feeding you. So anyway, he's there, and then the brook dries up. Now, I want to make a point here. So many times in life, we think that God should just keep the brooks running. But God has other things he wants to do with your life. You see, so many times we get to thinking that the world is revolving around us. Because we get caught up in our problems, our situations, all these issues I've just been talking about, and it all gets to be about us. And then we never think that there's anybody else riding in this world except us. And when you get to that place in life, it's a dangerous place. Because then all you do every day is focus on every issue and every problem that you have, everything that's not going right your way, everything that's not going the way you think it should go, and your world is revolving just around this. And when you're in that place and in that mindset, you're never looking out. Jesus can never get into you. He can't get into your head because you're not ever thinking about anything but you. Now, I know we have to get up. You moms that have small children, you got to get up in the morning and get them dressed, go take them to dinner. You're busy and you're, I'm not talking about just living life. I'm talking about if you get so consumed and that's all your thoughts are. You can literally focus on a problem for so long that it consumes you. We don't need to focus on that. We don't need the out of order sign. What we need is to know how to function so that the problem then is removed. We need to know Jesus so well that we can sit down every day and talk with him and he can direct us. And sometimes you have to move from the brook because it's dried up because God's trying to move you to another place. And so, the story, Elijah goes to the other place and he meets the woman there and then he everything takes place. Okay. But then he ends up and he goes, and let's just pick it up in verse 15. He goes to Ahab, and he tells Ahab, he says, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah, and then it happened that when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? Now, isn't it funny that the reason why God was troubling Israel at the time was because Ahab was a wicked king. He was married to Jezebel. Yet Ahab had it all turned around and said Elijah was the problem because Elijah said it's not going to rain and it wasn't going to rain. And Ahab really felt like he was right. Sound familiar? Now, I'm really stepping over into another message here, but I want to touch it for just a minute. I feel in the world now that it's so funny that we Christians are becoming the problem. And that the fingers are being pointed at us saying, we're the reason why things aren't right. And I want to laugh and say, excuse me? Go read 1 Kings 18 here. All right? So anyway, he goes on and says, Ahab says, is it you, O trouble of Israel? And he says, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and he said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. If you know, because I'm speaking to you right now and you know it, that you've got an out of order sign, or you keep one handy, right? The first thing you're going to have to do to get back functioning correctly in life, to get back to flowing with the things of God in life, the first thing you're going to have to do is you cannot be torn between two opinions. You have to say is that you believe in a God, that there is a God, and I'm going to serve him, and that's it. Okay, I got to tell y'all this one. Because I want it over the airways. I want everybody to hear this and anybody else that saw this. Okay, I'm sitting chilling out in a condo, and I'm flipping through the television. Okay, now you got to understand something about me flipping through a television. There's no joy really in me watching something on television. The joy is to get what there's a really good clicker and flip through. That's the joy. You got to understand something. Is that right, sweetie? She can't stand it. I'm not interested in watching anything. I'm just interested in how much can I not watch a commercial and how fast can it flip through. And if I got a really good clicker, you know, it's a really good one, man, I am like overjoyed. So I'm flying through the channels, flippity, 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 flippity. Oh, what's that? Okay, flippity, flippity, you know. But I'm just, man, I'm rolling them. And I hit on this thing and it's on the History Channel. And by the way, I want you to know History Channel is not history. And so it's History Channel. And it's this thing about these scientists and they found these places on the earth where they're, you know, like where the Bermuda Triangle is, and they're in a pattern and they're slowing the rotation of the earth down because of their... Does anybody else get caught up in this thing? Yeah, I see a few heads shaking here, okay? And they're causing the magnetic rotation to slow down on the earth. And then they thought that, you know, then it looks like maybe it was aliens that did it. And I'm like, what? I'm watching this. I thought it was a documentary. I thought it was truth. I'm saying, what? How come I never heard this? It's like, how could this be? This can't be. And so then at the end of the show, it all blows up and kills everybody. And I'm like, what? And then the deal runs off the end. And I'm like, what? Come on. And I get on the internet and Google this thing and find out it's all a bunch of malarkey. It's just a made-up deal. None of it was right. Showed all this thing about global warming and all this came on. And, man, I got so irritated. It was the only time I was really irritated on the whole time. And I was like, you lying dogs, no good, sorry, sons of motherless goats, you put on something like this and got there and people watch this and think it's the truth. They didn't Google it. They don't know. And I'm just railing at the television. I can't believe I got sucked up in this thing for about 20 minutes watching it, you know? And I got to laughing about it. And I said, you know, I was preaching. And I told my wife, she's in there having to listen to me. And I said, you know, I tell you what, I don't care if there are aliens and little green suckers come down here in the middle of it. You know, they better not run across the road. Run over them like a deer, man. We ain't going to put up with this stuff, you know? I tell you what, God is still God. I don't care what they come up with. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I'm just preaching now. Because you're not going to change my opinion. I believe in God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all therein. I believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and I'm not changing my belief. Amen. I believe the Bible's true, and that's where it's going to be, and that's the end of it. Right? I don't care if they heard a whole football full of aliens out there. It don't make me difference. You're subject to my God, Jehovah God. You're created, so he made you. So I don't know what you're going to do. I would start reading your Bible if I was you. If you don't have one, we'll supply you with one. What is that language? We'll get Wycliffe to make a Bible in your language. Are y'all with me? I am that dead set. I'm not going to change. Send an alien down here. We'll get him a Bible translation. All right? The point is if you're torn between two opinions, if what's going on in the world right now is tearing you between two opinions, you're going to have the hardest time in life ever moving forward and getting the hurts and the pains out of your life to where you can become fully functional. You're just going to stick an out of order sign on your chest and you're going to just quit. You're just going to become a zombie. That was one of the messages. I started to title this message, The Walking Dead. But since it was already taken, I figured I'd change. We got too many zombies in life. There are zombies. That's what you don't know. People that have totally checked out on life and are just walking through and going through the motions, but there's no life in them. There's no joy in them. There's no peace in them. There's no happiness. There's no anything. Folks, that's a zombie. Hello? And so what I'm saying is, here, you cannot, the first step you've got to make, if you want to get the out of order sign off of it, you have to say, listen, I'm not torn between two opinions. There's only one God, and this is God, and this is his son Jesus, and this is the word, and this is where I'm at, and I'm not changing. And the more they try to change me, the more I dig my heels in. Hello? And they say I'm ignorant. They say that for us to believe like that, that we're of low intelligence. Hey, I can skin a deer, can they? I know how to make jerky. I'll live. Listen to me, folks, listen to me. The world, no matter what apocalypse could come upon the world, we'll live. We're like cockroaches. You ain't going to get rid of us. We'll still be alive. We'll still be eating deer, man. We know how to live. We're country people. We're going to survive. Are y'all with me? And I'm proud of it. You know, I'm redneck and proud of it. All I'm saying is you can't let anything tear you between two opinions, because the moment you do, what happens is then you have no stable ground. You're never going to get the out of order sign off of you if you have no stability. Your stability has to be in God. Now, it takes me to the next point. Like I, you know, y'all know I'm a little odd. And I like to go to the beach, but I don't like the sand, and I don't like to get into the ocean. Makes a lot of sense, right? But ever since I got saved, which is 29 years ago when I got saved and made Jesus Lord of my life, every time I go and I see the ocean, God speaks to me. I don't know why. I don't know why that's that, you know. It'd been better if it had been an ice cream parlor, you know, but it's the ocean when I see it. And so God just so sovereignly did everything for us this week, and we got us into a place that, you know, we didn't have any reservations for, and anyway, and we get there, and the lady said, oh, there's a problem, you know, with this and that and the other. I'm sorry, y'all going to be in the 16th floor of this condo. And so I told Laura, I said, look, I ain't going to argue with nobody. Let's just go. I'm tired. Let's just get in there. And so we go up, and I walk up, and my mouth just falls open, because it was a corner overlooking the ocean, 16 floors up, had a little balcony on it. And when I looked at that, as soon as my eyes fell out and saw the ocean, boom, Holy Ghost started speaking to me. So I'm like, man, this is where we're camping out. You know, build an altar right here. This is where we're staying. So we're all different. We all, you know, that may not be the way God speaks to you, but he just does to me. And what it is about it is that I look at the sea and I look out across the ocean there, and I'm blown away by how big it is. You know? I just see it and I'm like, wow, that's bigger than Amstead. Are you with me? Like I said, I'm country, you know, but I'm just saying, you look at it, and I realize I'm still looking in the Gulf, and that's not even really looking at the ocean, you know, but it doesn't make no difference. It's a big body of water for this cowboy, okay? And I look out there, and I'm just like, wow, that is so huge. It's unbelievable. And so, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. I started just sitting there, and I started looking up facts about the ocean. Just going to give you a few here. If my facts aren't exactly right, well, then just give it to me, okay? I just got it off the internet, all right? Don't send me a letter over it. The oceans cover about 71% of the Earth's surface. 91% of all volcanic activity is in the ocean. The longest mountain range is the mid-ocean ridge, and it stretches 31,000 miles. Now, what got me about that is the whole circumference of the Earth is only like 26 or 28,000 miles. So you're talking about a mountain range that goes all the way around all of it. If you put the Andes, the Rockies, and the Himalayas all combined together, they'd still be four times, the mid-ocean ridge is four times bigger. So you take all the mountain, big mountain ranges we have on the Earth's surface, put them all together, and this dude down under the ocean is four times bigger. Nobody's ever seen it. You don't get to drive up and look at it like we do the Rockies. Okay? Its deepest valley is called the Challenger Deep. And if you took Mount Everest and you dropped Mount Everest into that valley, all right, it would still have a mile of water above it. Mount Everest. So in other words, you could throw Mount Everest into the ocean in that spot and didn't even know it was there. And 80% of all life on Earth is in the ocean. Okay, take you back to Mark 11. I want to read this chapter, or I want to look through this chapter. Let me get to it here. In Mark 11, for time's sake here, I'll just tell you the story and you can go back and read it. But in verse 1, Jesus comes, and he's about to go to Jerusalem to make his Palm Sunday entrance into Jerusalem. And he's going in there, and you know there's a part here the disciples go and they get him the donkey, and he gets a new one because Jesus likes to drive new cars. He said it had never been rode. He wanted a new one, okay. Anyway, so he goes into Jerusalem. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to get this understanding. I don't want to read all this, but I want you to follow this along on a timeline. So Jesus goes to Jerusalem. He gets on the donkey. Everybody throws their clothes down. They put the palm leaves down. He rides into Jerusalem. He goes into the temple. He walks around the temple. He gets out of the temple. He comes back, and he goes back to Bethany. All right? That's day one. So, if you pick it up here in verse 12. Now the next day, when he had come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. Now, you got to understand something about fig trees in Israel. And I've done a bunch of research on this, and I, even though the Bible doesn't state it, I feel that this is true telling you this, that the fig trees in Israel are different kind of fig trees, and there's two different kinds of fig trees in those days. But if a fig tree, the type of fig trees they had, if it had leaves on it, it was supposed to have fruit. That was the way that they grew. If it had leaves on it, it's supposed to have had fruit. So Jesus walks up because he sees leaves on it. Okay? And he's thinking, well, that's odd. It's got leaves on it. So he came to it, but he found nothing on it. So it's a fig tree that's supposed to be producing, but it's not producing, even though it was not even supposed to be the time of the figs, but it had leaves on it. It should have had fruit. Y'all with me? So Jesus, in verse 14, he responded and said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. So then he comes to Jerusalem. So, okay, right? He went to Jerusalem the day before, and he went to the temple. He turned around and come back out. Now the next day he's going. He sees a fig tree, curses the fig tree, and he goes on into Jerusalem. Okay? So he came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went to the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold at the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and seats of those who sold doves. He would not have allowed anyone to carry wares to the temple. And he said, my house should be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. What did he need to do it the day before? Think about that. He went to the temple. He rode into the temple. He walked into the temple. He looked all around the temple. Okay. He left. Gets up the next day. He's going back. Has this incident with the fig tree. Curses it. Goes on into the temple, and if you read, I believe it's John's gospel, it says he actually sat down and he braided the cords together and made a whip. That took a little time. It wasn't just like he just went in there and started doing it. I mean, it was a methodical, thought-out thing is what I'm trying to tell you. He goes in there and he just wrecks the place, and turns over the tables, tells everybody to get everything out of here. You know why? Because the house of God was not in working order. They were there making money off everybody, selling it. It wasn't a house of prayer. It wasn't something that was in order. And Jesus doesn't like it when things aren't working in order. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus wants to come into your life, and when things aren't in order in your life, he's not mad at you. He just wants to kick the table over, whatever the obstacle is in your life, to help you to be working in order. He's not mad at you. Jesus was trying to get the house, the temple, in order. That's what Freedom Prayer is about. Trying to help you hear from heaven so that you can get your temple operating properly. He ain't mad at you. All right? I tell you, I believe that a lot of the Christian world is not going on with their relationship with Jesus simply because all they're doing is looking at their past and their failures and their mistakes, and they don't have a revelation that God is only looking at your future and your destiny. God doesn't see you through your past and your mistakes. God sees you through your destiny. That's hard for us to believe. He sees you through your potential and your destiny. That's how he looks at each and every one of us. He doesn't at all see us with our past and our mistakes. You know, can you imagine this? Jesus sitting beside God. Frank's praying. God says, who is it? And Jesus says, oh, it's Frank the sinner. You know, the one that Maggie's mad at all the time. Oh, that Frank. Yeah, we know about Frank. You know how I know that? Because when God looked at Gideon, he didn't see the defeated person in the wine press hiding. He saw a valiant man of God. If you could hear from heaven how Jesus refers to you in heaven, you probably would know who he's talking about. It'd freak you out. So, oh, no. Really? Okay, let me get back on this. So, he goes and he turns it all over. Then he comes back, verse 20. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from its roots. So, he's coming back. He was in Jerusalem. He tore the place up. Must have spent the night. They're coming back. Peter remembered and said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed was withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. I just kind of bet that was the last thing the disciples expected to hear. Right? And if you look at the translation, a lot of the translations there really should say, have the faith of God. Or have God faith. Let me just say this. If you could take Mount Everest and throw it into the sea and never see it, you know, at that spot, y'all would say, yeah, that's a really big ocean, right? Right? Well, then how big is the guy that made the ocean? If you could take the biggest mountain on earth and throw it into the ocean and it ocean cover it and you not see it, how big is the guy that made it? You see, we get so out of order in our life, we get to looking at God as like he's one of us. Maybe he could pull it off if he knows enough people. And when I looked out that window and saw that ocean, it's like, oh my gosh, that is huge to me. And God made it. And then all of a sudden, this scripture came to mind. For surely I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Point number two, if you're going to get out of order, is you got to get your faith functioning. He said if you could cast a mountain into the sea. And then I started researching all this about the sea and found out about Everest. I didn't know that before. But when I'm standing there, the Lord starts to speak to me and says, Robert, why are you worried about anything? Why are you concerned about this? Or why are you concerned about that? Or why do you think this issue is important? Why don't you just cast it into the sea of my faithfulness? Why don't you just take it and launch it out into the sea? And then you know what's going to happen to it? It's not going to float. It's just going to get consumed in how faithful I am. Why are you worrying about anything? Why are you letting any stress come on your life when all I want you to do is just cast it into the sea in prayer? And you know, like I said, I'm redneck. And so the immediate thought I had was, you remember, I don't even know what they call those things. I don't know if they even still make them. But we used to have those slingshots that two people held. One person would hold one side of it and had the big, you know, elastic things between them, and then somebody would hold the other side, and you get the third person in the center shooting it. Are y'all looking at me like I'm crazy? Have y'all never seen those? I mean, maybe it was 1970s, but we did it. And so immediately my thought was, that's what I felt like. I said, man, okay, wait a minute. I'm worried about this situation, and I just took it and put it in that big slingshot and pulled it back and swoosh, just launched it out. And I was just standing on the balcony just envisioning me launching people, situations, circumstances into the ocean and being consumed in God's faithfulness. And I felt like $1 million. I felt the presence of God come on me. I felt relief. I felt pressure gone. I felt healed. Because all I was doing was just launching, just shooting the problems into the ocean. Man, you could shoot something out there in that ocean, and there's no way that the ocean couldn't consume it. And all of a sudden, that scripture became real to me. You see, folks, all I'm saying to you is we walk around out of order when the whole time this huge, unbelievable, great, amazing God wants to work in our lives. But we limit him. Oh, I don't know if he could do that. I don't know if that could happen. I don't know if God, you know, I just don't know. Will he do that for me? And the enemy in the warfare is coming over there saying, he's not going to do that because you're a sinner. You've done this. You've done that. And then you get off and say, well, I don't. Can you just listen to this? Let me just say this. The only thing that can stop that vastness of God's faithfulness in your life is your self-will. So then think about that. How powerful our free will is when there's that big God wanting to work in our life and we won't let him. We sit around, folks, listen to me. I believe that we need to be concerned with our government. We need to do what's going on with things in our government and our state, and we need to vote, and we need to do all these things that we do, all the things that Maggie and Frank helped do and push through, and all. I'm 100% behind every bit of it, okay? But I want to tell you this. However the outcome is, my God's going to win. Amen. Ahab bows his knee. All the prophets of Baal get burned up. Fire comes down from heaven. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is going to be victorious. It's not a question. We're not going to have to see, we're not in sudden death over time to see who's going to win. It's only can we keep ourselves in faith without getting distracted and being out of order and not being able to function correctly. It's the warfare that comes against us that takes us out. The moment you get offended, the moment you know that something happens in life and that offense comes into your life and you do it, that's the enemy trying to take you out. The person that did something to you, he may be wrong. But if it takes you out of the game, he won because that's the ultimate goal. And like I said, there's no candy land. Utopia is not utopia. It's got a good name, but it ain't perfect. You know why? Because people live in it. And when there's people, there's going to be problems. I mean, that's just it. I'm not trying to say, it's just the truth. So how are we going to deal with it? Well, why am I too worried about anything if my God's bigger than the ocean? Why am I too worried about anything if I can slingshot whatever is giving me any problems into the ocean and he said right there, cast it in the sea, and not doubt in my heart? My problem is not that I need everything to line up better, it's that I just need more faith. So what's faith? I'm going to end on this. You're talking about a young boy raised in church that never taught faith. Then I get saved and then I start reading everything I can about faith and the ABCs of faith and the 1-2-3s of faith and how to develop faith and building faith and spirit faith, this, that. And so then I go through a period where I've turned it into a formula. Faith to me becomes a formula. If I do this and this and this, then this should happen. Hello? And you know where I am today? I'm glad I learned all I did. I'm glad I learned the formula. I'm glad I learned all that. It was good for me. You know where I am today? I just look at the ocean and say, wow. Greatest thing I can do for myself is take some time away to go look at it and say, wow. I'd made that. Faith is simply just, do you just believe? You trust in him? Is he real to you? My Jesus is real. God has delivered me from so much. So much. And he says, am I going to sit there and let the warfare come and get me off? And get me out of order? Or am I going to let the warfare come into me and say, really? You really think you're bigger than my God? You really think that you can make this happen, huh? The Bible says in Psalms 3, I believe it is, He says, the God who sits in the heavens, he laughs. He laughs at all of the things that we get worried about when he's like, my goodness, I can just take care of that in a second. And so then you get into the things of, well, but one time I prayed and I didn't see anything happen. And then, you know, you live there and all it does is tear your faith up. Listen to me. If I've done something and I don't, and it doesn't work right the first time, you know what I do? I do it again. But I do it differently. Y'all with me? And if it didn't work the second time, you know what I do? I put it together again differently. Amen. I was trying to put a knife sharpener together yesterday. I put her together and thought, yeah, well, of course I didn't read the instructions, you know, that's not, you're not supposed to. They just put those in there for people that don't know better. I put that thing together. I said, man, this is the mickiest, mousest, silliest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I thought, well, wait a minute. I looked at the box and I said, look, I'm missing a part. So then I put the next part on, you know. And then, you know, about six tries later, I got the instructions out. Found that I'd done it wrong six times and figured it out. But hey, I changed every time. I just didn't quite get it right. All I'm saying to you folks is that's the same way it is in walking in this life. I'm not going to give up. By faith, I'm going to keep going. Amen? So I want you to stand up right now. Let me have a prayer team come down here this morning. And I don't know where we all are in life. Jesus does. I'm the preacher. He's the healer. But everybody out there watching and listening and all of y'all in here today, I just want to simply say this. If your faith has been hit, then you need to find what it is in life that you can look at or see or read or whatever that builds your faith back. Because I'm telling you, God's real. He's alive. He's bigger than you can imagine. He can do great things in your life. God is the God of heaven. He's the God who parts the Red Sea. God is the God who can take anything in your life and fix it. I'm telling you, He will, He wants to, He desires to. All you got to do is get out of order. Get to functioning correctly. Get back in to full functionality. And you may be amazed at what you'll see God do. Amen? So I want to pray for you. And if you are do need prayer, do want to talk to one of our prayer team people today, well, come on up here. But otherwise, I want you to go out there in this world, and I want you to just tell everybody about how great Jesus is. I don't want you to make it complicated. Make it really simple to everybody. Hey, I'm not torn between two opinions. I know there's a God, and I know He sent His Son, Jesus. And if you want Him in your life, believe in Him. Ask Him to come into your life, and He will. That's simple. That's simple. Amen? So let me pray for you. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone here, everyone watching and listening today. I just declare, Lord God, that we are not torn between two opinions. We believe in You. We trust in You. We believe You that You are our answer and our source for everything. Today, Lord, I pray for every person in here who may be wounded, who may be dealing in their health, their finances, or their fellowship, or their friendship, Lord God, their relationships. I pray for them, Lord, that wherever the enemy has come in, wherever there's been warfare, wherever they've been tripped up, wherever they've been, their faith has been lacking, I declare right now in Jesus' name that the lies of the enemy are broken. I declare that the chains and the shackles fall off of them, and that they grab hold today, Lord God, of the truth of Your Word. They cast their fears, their worries, their doubts, their unbeliefs into the sea. And Lord, I thank You that You do miracles, signs, and wonders for them. Lord, I praise You for it. I thank You for it. Bless them now. And give us people all this week, Lord, we can come across, we can talk to, we can minister to, and tell them about how great You are. And we thank You for it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church.